Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 22. And as you're turning there, a man had just gotten dumped by his girlfriend. And he was telling a friend about how it happened. And he said, "When I was talking to her on the phone, she told me something about meeting a man in Germany. This man owns a sheep farm and he's extremely wealthy." Then his friend looked at him and said, "So what you're trying to tell me is that you got dumped for a German shepherd?" German shepherd, Harley. Amen. We are going to be talking about the truth, this morning. And I want to give some background before we start reading here in the first verse of 1 Kings 22. Jehoshaphat, he was a good, godly man. And he was the king of Judah at this time. And Judah is the southern kingdom of Israel. At that time, the kingdom was not united. It took King David to unite the kingdom. So there was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The southern kingdom was known as Judah. And Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, the southern kingdom. King Ahab, an ungodly and wicked man, is king of Israel, the northern kingdom. Now let's start reading right in verse 1. It says, "Now 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel. Then it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel." Again, that would be Ahab. "And the king of Israel said to his servants, 'Do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours? But we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria.' So he said to Jehoshaphat, 'Will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead?' Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, 'I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses.'" So here we see this good, godly man, King Jehoshaphat, enter into an alliance with the wicked and ungodly King Ahab. The Bible calls this type of partnership being unequally yoked. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible, it's not just a verse, but it's a commandment. God says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." So what we need to understand is God is not telling us that we can't have any interaction with unbelievers. It's not what God's saying here. He's not saying that we shouldn't witness, we shouldn't try to be friends, we shouldn't show kindness and compassion to unbelievers. It's not what the Bible's talking about. The Bible's talking about entering into partnerships. Amen? And this is referring to forming those type of partnerships, a believer with an unbeliever. And this type of partnership can it refers to business partnerships, but it also refers to personal partnerships like marriage. Amen? So that's what God is talking about here. We're going to revisit this a little later in our message, but I want to just touch on that. So we see here that Jehoshaphat enters this alliance with the ungodly King Ahab. And as we read here, he enters it without seeking God, does he? He visits the king. The king just simply says, "Hey, will you go with me into battle?" And without hesitation, what does he say? He says, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." No praying about it, no seeking godly counsel about it, never giving God a thought until after the fact. Amen? And this is a mistake that many of us, I'm going to say most of us, make from time to time. Amen? We make our plans. We agree upon them. After we make all the arrangements and it's all set in place, then we pray about it. We ask God, "Will you bless this thing that we just set up?" Amen? We're guilty of it, aren't we? That's how we do it. Look at verse 5. "Also, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, 'Please inquire for the word of the Lord today.'" What was the problem with that? He had already agreed that he was going to help the king. After he agreed, now he says, hey, let's go to the Lord about it. Now look at verse 6. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and he said to them, again, Ahab, this was King Ahab, the wicked king, he said, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain? So they said, again, this is these 400 prophets, said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. Now, verse 7 is a little interesting. Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? Didn't they just have 400 prophets in front of King Ahab? Well, the problem was that they were puppets of the king. They were not prophets. Amen? They were yes men. They were there to simply agree with whatever King Ahab said just to keep him happy. But remember, Jehoshaphat, he was still a godly man. He was a good man. He made a mistake, and he understood that mistake. And when they called these prophets, he saw right through them. And he said, wait a minute. Isn't there one prophet of the Lord left in the land that we can call upon, that we can inquire, that we can get God's answer for? Amen. So look at verse 8. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. So, you think King Ahab liked this guy? I mean, he just flat said, I hate this guy. Not at all. But he ends up summoning Micaiah anyhow, because he doesn't want to jeopardize this new alliance he has with Judah to go to war. Now, skip down to verse 13. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen up. The words of the prophets with one accord, they encourage the king. Please let your word be like the word of them and speak encouragement. Basically, this messenger is telling Micaiah, he's saying, look, you need to be just like the other prophets and just agree with them so the king feels comfortable and he doesn't get upset. Now, Micaiah's response is really the heart of today's message. Look at what he says in verse 14. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Amen. He's saying, it may not be popular, but I will speak what the Lord says. It may not be pleasant, it may not be pleasing, but that is exactly what I'm going to say. I will declare whatever is true, no matter what. I will stand for the word of God, and I will not be intimidated by this king or by any other man. Amen. That is exactly what Micaiah was saying. He was not one of the king's puppets. He was a faithful prophet of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. He said, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Amen. And I pray that is the foundation of every single believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. So the first point I want us to make this morning is, it's better to be divided by truth than united by untruth. Amen? It's better to be divided by truth than it is to be united in untruth. Now understand, I'm not against unity. So that's not what I'm preaching at all. Amen? Unity is of God. God is the author of unity. It's exactly what brings peace. It's what brings accord. Amen? I work and I pray every single day to keep unity in this church and within this church family. Amen? Unity is of God, so I'm not saying I'm against unity. Look what Ephesians 4:3 says. This is God's command to every believer. He said that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in the bond of peace. That's God's command to every single one of us. But we have to take this in the proper context of God's word. This unity must be based upon truth. Amen? It has to be based upon truth. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. You don't get a lot of quotes out of Amos, amen? But listen to what the Bible says. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Amen? And he's talking about being agreed upon by God's Holy Spirit, being agreed upon in truth. Light and darkness just cannot go together, amen? It has to be unity in truth. So unity, absolutely. Uniformity that compromises truth, never. Amen? 2 Corinthians. I said we were going to come back and visit this again. Look at it, verse 14. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen? So what God is telling us here, look, if we are a child of God, if we are born again, who's inside of us? God's Holy Spirit. Amen? Would God make an alliance with Satan? Amen? That's what he's telling us. We are not to enter into any type of partnership with an unbeliever, because who are we taking into that partnership? God himself. We are the temple of God's Holy Spirit, so we are not to enter into an unholy alliance. Doesn't mean we don't fellowship, we can't be friends. It doesn't mean that we can't witness and talk to and encourage the unbeliever, but it means that we shouldn't be in any type of partnership with them. Amen? That's what God is talking about. And this was Jehoshaphat's mistake. He went into that unholy alliance, a good, godly king, entering into this military alliance with a wicked king. They were unequally yoked. Now we need to understand that absolutely Jesus is the great unifier to those who believe in him. Amen? To the child of God, to the church, he is the great unifier. But the Bible also makes it very clear that he is also a great divider. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. Listen to what Jesus said himself. He said, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. How many of us have that opinion of Christ? How many of us kind of think that way sometimes, that Jesus came to bring peace? What did he say here? That's not why I came. Amen? Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Amen? Now he's going to clarify a little bit. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. So Jesus is telling us here that he didn't come just to bring peace, that uniformity at all costs. That is not why Jesus came. Jesus came to bring what? Truth. Amen? And truth is a divider. Those that truly want to know truth are on one side, and then there are those that want their own truth on the other side, and it divides. Amen? That's what Jesus is talking about here. How many, you don't have to raise your hands, but Think in your head. How many are from homes that have both believers and unbelievers inside of that home? How many are friends with people that have that situation? What is that home like? Isn't it? Amen? That's what Jesus is saying here, that he will set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother. He's talking about a believer against an unbeliever because they are separated by truth. One knows the truth of God and has Jesus Christ in their heart. The other has chosen to reject that truth. And that's why Jesus is also the great divider. Believers and unbelievers, in that house it will be divided. Again, those who believe in unity at all costs, that is not biblical. That is contrary to the Word of God. Unity, yes, but that unity has to be based on truth. The truth of God's Word, plain and simple. It's better to be divided by truth than to be united in untruth. How many of you are familiar with Martin Luther? Amen? Familiar with Martin Luther? He was the one who started the Protestant Reformation. He came to truth. How? By reading it. Amen? He was reading God's Word, and God illuminated that truth upon his heart, and he was convicted, and it led him to lead the Protestant Reformation. Listen to what Martin Luther wrote. He said, "I do not want to know anything of peace and concord when the Word of God is thereby lost, and the Word and eternal life and everything is forfeited. It's not right for me to draw back and give way out of love for you or toward any other man, but before the Word, everyone must give way, whether he be a friend or an enemy. For the Word has not been given to us for the sake of eternal or worldly peace, but for the sake of eternal life." He said, "Don't talk to me, therefore, of love or friendship if the Word and faith are to be compromised." Amen? In a nutshell, he's saying truth is above all. Even if it sacrifices relationships because some want to accept truth and others don't want to accept truth. He said, we don't conform just to be conformists. He said, we unite in truth. Our being good people in the unity and peace and love toward one another is not what gets us into heaven. Amen? It's only by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. As God's people, listen, we're not to divide on the small things. Amen? We all have personal preferences. Right? A personal preference doesn't mean that's truth. Amen? Some people will, a pastor has to wear a tie. Do you know when a tie was invented? You think they had ties in the 1600s? 1500s? No. Ties were invented in the 1800s. That's personal preference. Amen? We also believe that women have to wear skirts in church. That's what? Personal preference. Show me it in the Bible. Amen? The Bible just simply says we are to adorn ourselves modestly. Amen? Because God's more concerned what's inside, not what's on the outside. Amen? So we're not to be divided over the little things, the small things. But we are also not to compromise the truths of God's Word either. Amen? If it's in the Bible, we stand by it. We can't compromise just for the sake of peace or for the sake of love or unity. Truth can never be compromised at any cost. Our unity must be in Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's better to be divided by truth than to be united in untruth. Amen? Second point. It's better to speak truth that hurts and then heals than it is to speak a lie that comforts and kills. Amen. Those 400 prophets, they just looked the king in his eye and told a flat-out lie. They were puppets. They weren't prophets. They never prayed. They never sought the advice of God. And all they did was they did it in order to comfort and to please Ahab, to keep conformity within the kingdom. They didn't want to upset him. And the Bible says that Ahab loved them simply because they only told him what he wanted to hear, not what he needed to hear. Amen. The end result for Ahab, if you read through the Bible, was nothing but great tribulation and ultimately death. Amen. Many pastors today, they need to heed this warning in God's word. They need to stop trying to win popularity contests and just preach the truths of the Bible. There's too many, all they want to do is just pump people up, give a feel-good message. They want to be motivational speakers. Listen, God's word is just like a surgeon's scalpel. There are times that it's going to hurt. But in the end, it's a hurt for what? For our good. Because the truth of God's word sometimes cuts at us because God's trying to get rid of those things that are not healthy for us. Spiritually healthy for us. And he has to cut them away. And at times, it's going to hurt. It's not what we want to hear, but it's exactly what we need to hear. Ahab, the Bible says, he hated Micaiah. Why? Because he told him a truth that hurt. He told him a truth that he needed to hear. And in turn, Ahab saw who was really his friend as his enemy. He said, I hate this guy. Many complained that preaching on hell, well, that's just cruel. Listen, I'd rather be cruel on hell, which is kind, than to be kind on hell, which is cruel to the unsaved. Amen? A harsh truth is always better than a polished lie. Ecclesiastes 7:5. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Too many pastors and preachers today are more concerned with offending someone in their congregation than they are at offending God Himself. Amen? Now, I want to clarify something here as well. Now, I'm not saying that we are to purposely offend people either. You know, I've seen Christians go way too far on the other side and just, you know, they try to ram the gospel down people's throats. That's not what the Bible says either. Amen? I don't mean to offend you, but whenever you have to start out by saying, I don't mean to offend you, don't say it. Amen? We are to share God's word with love, with compassion, with patience. We need to put ourselves in their shoes because we were in their shoes before. Think how we were when we were unsaved and someone tried to jam church or the gospel down our throat. Oh, you shouldn't do that or you shouldn't do this. Well, no kidding. They're unsaved. Sinners sin because they're what? They're sinners. They don't have the light of Christ in their heart yet. You see, my job as pastor is not to fill the pews. My job is to fill this pulpit and teach and preach the truth. Amen? That's my job. I can't be concerned about filling the pews. That's God's job. My job is to be faithful what's coming out of here. Amen? Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. We think about our text here. Ahab received 400 kisses from those deceitful prophets. I really should say puppets because they weren't prophets. Instead of hearing the wounds from his one faithful friend in that kingdom, Micaiah. Amen. Next, it's better to be hated for telling the truth than to be loved for telling a lie. Amen. Ahab hated Micaiah for telling the truth. That's the only reason he hated him. Listen, not every Christian, not every pastor is going to be loved. You know, that's something we all want, right? We all want to be loved. We all have a desire to be accepted. We don't want to be hated. We don't want to be disliked. But it's better to be hated for telling the truth than it is to be loved for a lie. Amen? Galatians 4:16. The Apostle Paul, he had a very similar experience. And we see it here in the book of Galatians. Look at 4:16. Paul said, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you truth?" To get a little background, the Galatians, they had strayed from truth. And Paul was trying to show them in love and compassion. He was trying to show them light and try to show them truth. The one who tells us the truth is not our enemy. Amen? And boy, our nation and this world needs to hear that more than ever today. People, if they have a different opinion, now they hate one another. They're mortal enemies simply because they have a different viewpoint. And that's sad. That is contrary to God's word. The one who tells us truth is not our enemy. It's like, you ever been driving somewhere you weren't familiar with and you keep making this turn and that turn and before you know it, you're just completely lost? That was before the days of Google Maps, of course. You were lost. And you stop and you ask for directions and that guy looks you in the eyes and he says, "Brother, you went the wrong way." Does that make him my enemy simply because he's telling me the truth that I made a wrong turn? I made a bad decision? I was going down the wrong road? No, that means he's my friend because he's trying to straighten me out. Amen? It's the same in life. My enemy, the one who tells me truth, is not my enemy. He's my friend. Listen, if that guy didn't tell me I was going down the wrong way, what would happen? I just keep going further and farther, what? In the wrong direction, down the wrong path. And eventually I would have ended up in worse case than what I was then. And that's true about life. Micaiah told Ahab the truth. And if we read closer into that scripture, that's why he was thrown into prison. Simply for telling the truth. But listen, he's in pretty good company. Jesus Christ himself told truth and he was crucified for it. Abel offered a truth in his sacrifice and Cain killed him for it. Daniel preached truth and he was thrown in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would not compromise on the truth of God's word and they were thrown into a fiery furnace. Amen. Last point I want to make here this morning, that it's better to stand alone with truth than to be wrong with the crowd. Amen? Look at verses 13 and 14, going back in our text. 1 Kings 22, going back to verse 13. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, "Now listen. The words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Please let your words be like the words of one of them and speak encouragement." And Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak." Micaiah was ready to stand all alone. He didn't care what those other 400 had to say. He didn't care what they did. He didn't care anything about them. The only thing he cared about was what God said. He didn't care about the king's comfort. He didn't want to be a yes man. He just wanted truth. And as we creep ever closer to the end times, it's more and more clear that the majority is wrong today about truth. Amen. You see more in our church today than in the neighborhoods as you're coming to church. Amen. Because there's more out of church than in church, does that mean they're right? Absolutely not. And as we get closer and closer to the end times, we can certainly see that the majority is wrong about truth. They'll scream and they'll shout for spiritual uniformity. And we all need to come together in the spirit of uniformity. And what they don't realize is that they are actually laying the groundwork, doing the work for Antichrist, because that's exactly how he is going to come to power, in uniformity. But it's not going to be uniformity in truth. Amen? Truth will be compromised. And even in our nation, we embrace and we accept every single religion that can even be thought of except Christianity today. Amen? We will build a mosque or a prayer area inside of an airport, but we will take down every nativity scene that's out there. Amen? That's where we are as a nation. But listen, we can't be discouraged by that. Amen? Look back through history. God's people have always had to stand alone. Think about in the book of Genesis, Noah and his family. They stood alone and built this massive ark in the middle of the desert. Elijah, on top of Mount Carmel, he stood alone with those 450 false prophets of Baal. Amos stood alone in that courtroom at Bethel. Over and over throughout history, God's people sometimes had to stand alone. And when I say stand alone, I'm not talking about standing alone. I'm talking about standing alone. Amen? Because if you have God in your heart, you're never alone. And they tried to scare Micaiah into conformity, but he chose to stand alone. He chose to stand on the truth of God's word all by himself. And I hear it a lot today, more than ever before. Talking to families that go to different churches, and they'll complain about their pastor not preaching the Bible anymore, and he doesn't preach about Jesus or preach what the Bible says and this and that. And I just patiently listen and compassionately listen, and I lovingly tell them, look, if that be the case, then you need to just go out and find a church that does. Amen? And then they start making excuses about how the family has always gone to that church, and grandma is buried out in the cemetery in the back. And listen, grandma would leave too if she could. Amen? If grandma could, she would leave. You got to start letting go of those traditions. Amen? If truth isn't coming out of the pulpit, leave. And that includes here. Or get rid of me, one or the other. Amen? We need to look past the short term, and we have to see the eternal. We have to have that proper eternal perspective. A lie, a compromise, and conformity may pay off today, but it will ultimately lead to hurt, the heartache, and the suffering, and even death. Because truth will always prevail. Skip down in 1 Kings chapter 22. I want to end with a couple verses here. Skip down to verse 34. says, now a certain man drew a bow at random. Why does God put that there? He wants us to understand that this guy was not an experienced marksman. He wasn't like the best bow shooter in the world. And he didn't have a particular target. He said, a certain man, Joe the archer, drew a bow at random. And he struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded. Skip down to verse 37. So the king, speaking of Ahab, died and was brought to Samaria. Ahab refused to listen to the truth from God's man, and he had the preacher thrown in prison for it. But that was the short term. Amen. As God's arrow found Ahab, his crown of glory found the head of Micaiah. Amen. Because Micaiah saw the eternal perspective. He wasn't worried about the short term pleasing Ahab. He wasn't worrying about the short term coming in uniformity and conformity with the rest of the prophets. He was looking at his eternal perspective. It didn't matter that he was sitting in jail simply for telling the truth, because he knew eternity was a lot longer than that jail sentence. Amen. And today, more than ever, we desperately need the truth of God's word. Amen.